Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping everything that happened in the Clásico Capitolino ahead of the international break. We're going to be looking at everything going on in and around the club in regards to injury updates and everything. I know Christian has a little bit to talk to us about. And then, of course, we're going to be previewing the upcoming Clásico Capitolino yet again, but this time here in the United States. Carson, California will be hosting Las Águilas del América. We'll get into that in just a second as well. But joining me to do all of this and more are my two co-hosts from New York. It is none other than Christian Rosendo and AJ himself. Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
I'm doing good, Ivan. I'm doing good. I've had a long day today, but, you know, I always can kind of the pockets kind of decompress, talk about the beautiful Águilas del América. I hope both of you guys are doing great. Hope the chat is doing great. Got a lot to talk about ahead of this international break. I think we ended on a good note, but there's much improvement. But we'll touch on that a little bit later.
Definitely plenty of improvements still yet to be made. We'll talk about what happened in that game against Pumas. But AJ, talk to me. How are you?
Doing great. Both America teams, the women's team, the men's team, winning Clásicos. This is America, baby. That's what we do.
That's the DNA of an America right there for you. The ladies off just recently coming off a 2-1 victory. AJ and I will discuss of that much more in detail on Thursday's podcast, as we'll be also talking about the upcoming Clásico Nacional for the ladies. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure you guys tune in on Thursday, as we will be covering that in full detail. So if you guys don't want to miss it, make sure you guys, again, join us on Thursday. All right, gentlemen, let's go into the topic. America winning at home against Pumas, a 2-0 victory that may be a bit deceiving, especially the way the last goal comes in at the last minute of the match. But I will say this, I think America were rightfully the victorious team, although we weren't looking that promising, Christian, in the first opening minutes. Pumas definitely had, an opportunity here and there. They were knocking at the door, yet America was able to stabilize themselves, get rhythm going, dominate possession, and then you saw what happened out on the pitch. For you, what went right in this game, and what do you think we still need to improve on?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, the first couple of minutes were a little bit scary, as they usually are with this America team. But it seems like America kind of found themselves. They understood what needed to be done in order to become victorious in this match. And I think America responded great. I think Aquino, Richard, and Fidalgo had a great game this past Sunday. It's the main reason why America was as dominant as I think they were in this match. It just allowed for more offensive flow to go through the players like Roger, like Cordova and Viñas. But you know, I'm looking at number eight. I think he stepped up in a big way this game. He needed to. I think it had to happen, right? Whether it was in Pachuca or here, it had to be one of the two games, and I'm happy it came. I just need this Fidalgo to continue for the rest of the season, because we have very important matches coming up. You know, we have a final at the end of the month. We still have the likes of Tigres to play, like the Cruz Azul to play still. And you know, we're gonna need Fidalgo to be at his best, because when he's at his best, I think America's offensive game, it's just that much better. And then that in turn can just, you know, it just puts us in a better position to win the game overall, instead of us chasing the match like we have, like in the past couple of times, like against Chivas, like against Pachuca. We weren't there, you know. It always seemed like we were just fighting for at least one or two good offensive chances. And, you know, on Sunday, it looked like we had quite a few. And I think it was primarily due to a lot of Fidalgo's play. So a lot more of that needs to happen going forward, and I'm just happy, we're starting to see the real Fidalgo come to life.
Yeah, and I mean, you see right here, Jacob Leal saying, "Qué partidazo de Fidalgo." Obviously, you know, he even makes the ideal starting 11 for the Jornada. So it goes to show how good of a game Fidalgo actually had. AP Jr. saying, "We basically won because Pumas couldn't finish, and that last minute goal, that's it." take what you get for us America fans, but 3 points secured, so I ain't complaining. I mean, he has a point, right? I think Pumas had the better opportunity at the beginning of the match, could have put one or two away. This game completely turns on its head. But I think it's that resilience of America to be able to kind of, you know, take a couple of blows and then find their footing yet again and get those chances, you know. And a player like Fidalgo, someone who, again, Christian, heavily criticized this season, even though he has been putting numbers on the score sheet, he just hasn't looked that offensively great. But in this game, completely turns things around. I think he opened up a couple of channels for Cordoba to then kind of tuck into the middle, and we saw a little bit more play from him there. But Fidalgo, just everywhere on that pitch. And what I like mostly about this game from him was that he necessarily wasn't so tied to that box-to-box midfield role that he had been in these past couple of games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like the fact that he had more mobility. He was a lot more versatile, and he was a lot more kind of contributing to the attacking side of things. And, you know, due to however Solari told him to change up his game, I think it worked out perfectly. And, like, again, we saw the best of America whenever he was involved in those plays going forward. AJ.
Yeah.
We had some good showings in this match, though. Early on, we looked slightly worried because everyone was just having a day with Bruno Valdes where he was just getting beaten left and right. It just seemed like in those 15 minutes, really, just was getting dominated. But then after that, from there, the defense looked okay. Puma's going to really finish. Seeing what our offense can do, especially in midfield, promising stuff. This is what I like to see more from this America side, especially Alvaro Fidalgo. He's starting to step up, and that's what we really want to see, especially for a guy where we gave him an extension for his contract to stay at America for a while. So, good things to see from Fidalgo and from Royer and Vinas and everyone else, just doing good things. Now we just need to keep, keep this momentum and just keep playing the way that we're playing. Well, we could always improve in this pool match, but all in all, this is good things to see, especially after not winning games in a while.
Definitely, and it was pivotal for America to go off into the international break with 3 points and a clean sheet on top of that. I think is detrimental. I think we've talked about it. You know, this 2-0 scoreline under Solari tends to be the new 3-0, AJ. And so the fact that we were able to put our chances away whilst we had much more that we should have finished, it was nice to see that, you know, for once we're starting to put things away. We looked a lot more comfortable at home than we did against Chivas. And even though we did have our scares, things looked a lot more promising. And again, it's on a high note to end before the international break. Let's talk a little bit about Vinas, because I think this is an interesting topic. I think a lot of people are divided 50-50 on this. I see he had a good game. He, you know, keep him giving him minutes. And then I see another 50% of the fan base saying he did nothing in the 60-ish minutes that he got. He couldn't score. He doesn't need to see the starting 11 anymore. So where do we fall on this Vina criticism?
I like Vinas. I think Vinas, you know, does things similar to Henry, but he kind of has his own like flair to it. I think Vinas, you know, he's a little more, how can I say it? He's like a little more mobile, a little more explosive without the ball. I think that allows him to open up for better opportunities. Unfortunately, the goal that we're gonna see coming up in a couple of seconds here, it got disallowed, right? But you know, but it just sees that Vinas just has that striker mentality to kind of just get himself free, get himself open, get himself and try and be in the best possible positions to kind of score, while also that retaining the ball from the back is a big part of his play. And I think if Solari wants to continue playing that kind of style, you know, you can always rely on Vinas to kind of, you know, receive the ball and then just lay it out to your wings. That's really what you want to do. I think Vinas can do it perfectly. I know Henry is his main guy, right? I know Henry, you know, that's kind of his thing. But, you know, if push comes to shove, if Henry isn't playing well, if he's not having a good moment, I think Vinas is an excellent, I guess, go-to man whenever Henry is slacking. And more so, maybe he can even convert himself into a number one starter. But I like Vinas, though. You know, I always liked Vinas since the day he came to America. Since the day he came off the bench and scored 13 seconds into his debut, I always knew
against Pumas
and at the Estadio Azteca, I always knew he was going to be that guy for us. And it, you know, it's unfortunate how things are panning out for him right now. but I still like his attitude. I still like that he wants to give it all. I still like he wants to prove himself. And little by little, you keep giving him more playing time. You keep giving him that kind of vote of confidence. Okay, listen, you're gonna play in this match. You better show him what you got. I think he's responded well. Yes, he's not scoring as much as we want him to. But you know that you just give him a little more time, give him a little more, because you give him Henry Martin minutes, and I promise you, he'll put up more goals.
Interesting. That's a hot take. That's definitely a hot take right there. I mean, look, I do like Vinicius. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think him and Henry, whilst a lot of people think that they do and play the same style up top, I do think that they're two vastly different players. And you know, I'd make the argument that sometimes Vinicius is the answer to some of these games where Henry may potentially not be. It's not to say that, you know, one is better than the other. I think at the moment they're both struggling in that concept of, you know, trying to find the back of the net. Let's be honest, you know, yeah. Henry's not putting up numbers that we thought he would be putting up after, you know, the Olympics. And Vinicius too, he's had his difficulties getting on that starting 11. And whenever he does, you know, he's always been a little bit unlucky. I mean, look at this goal right here. It gets ruled offside. But if he was just a fraction, earlier with the cross, or you know, maybe waited just a half a second to go for it, you know, maybe it stands. But still, at the end of the day, I think he proves and gives us a lot of opportunity. I do think he's a bit unlucky at times, but I do want to see him continue to get game time. I mean, he'll get it again this Friday whenever the America faces against Pumas up again, and I think it's, even though it will be an exhibition match, I think it's gonna be important for him to try to keep that rhythm going, because it is a hefty break. I mean, you're talking about like almost 2 weeks of not playing. So in a league match, that I think is what you have to kind of take in consideration.
Of course.
But yeah, again, you know, Vinicius, it's a hot topic, but I do want to see him continuously get more minutes. And I think the moment he bags a goal, I think you're going to see the confidence rise even more so.
Of course, of course. And I think that's what we're all wishing for, right? For him to get that one goal. It's like I said, Ivan, you know, once Chaka gets that goal of confidence, you know, the sky's the limit, you know. And that's exactly what he needs. That's exactly what's going to, you know, elevate him to kind of potentially be that number one starter. It's just, you know, you got to give him a little bit more time, I guess. And then just that vote of confidence that he can and will do it.
Definitely. AJ, when is Vinicius going to score? Against what team?
San Luis. Scoring at San Luis.
That's the next game. All right,
I like it. It is. That is
the going to happen.
Which we're on the road, by the way. So it's not an easy. It's not an easy task. But alas, very good. Now let's talk about another player that has had quite the criticism come his way recently this season, and that's Richard Sanchez. Completely showed up in this game. Played a lot better than he has this whole season. And my goodness, scores a wonder goal. I mean, the level of technique it takes to score that is... I don't. You froze, Christian, so I had no idea what you did with your your teacup mug.
What happened?
I said you froze, so I didn't get to see anything of what you were doing.
Oh. Wait, what's going on?
I don't know. Look, AJ, you started laughing. I thought you did something... I've lost signal here for a second. That's why I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm listening to your take on Richard Sanchez, and you know, it's amazing. That wonder goal was amazing. I was actually in where was I? I think I was in the Wingstop, and then I was watching the game on my phone for a couple of minutes, and I saw the goal, and I tried my best not to scream because there was like 10 people around me. So like I said, Ivan, this is probably Richard. If you know, one of his best games of the season, and you know, the fact that he did it in that manner, just it boosts his confidence, right? A goal like that, like, who doesn't, right? Like, whose confidence doesn't get boosted all over that? And number two, you know, he's got to take that and just ride with it the rest of the season, just like Fidalgo. You know, both amazing performances this past Sunday. You just gotta keep it going, man. It's that level of consistency that I think will elevate us to a championship team if certain players can achieve that consistency level. It's fair to say, I think all three of us, and I think the chat can agree, that this America team is very bipolar and very, you know, non-consistent in any form, and every single player on that 11, you can see that there's no consistency with any player.
I mean, I don't know. I'd argue differently with our goalkeepers. I think both Oscar and Ochoa have had consistency this season.
Yeah.
Fine, you're putting respect to Oscar Jimenez's name. Wow. Putting respect to his name.
You know, besides the goalkeeper, because you know that's a little, you know, that refrain them from this conversation for now, Ivan, please. You look across the sheet and there's no one that you can say, okay, he's had a good, long, consistent season. Everyone's had their ups and downs. And I think you need a core of players to, you know, kind of just be those players that you can always rely on to have a good game, to always bail you out, to always just spark something. And only then we'll be a championship team. Because as of right now, yes, we're number one. You know, yes, we're number two in defensive. Yes, we're top five in offensive. But in my opinion, we're not there yet to be considered a championship team. It's still up in the air of who can actually win the whole thing. We're definitely in a conversation. We know we'd be lying to ourselves if we said we weren't in the conversation. But it's one thing being in the conversation, another thing being, you know, considered, you know, the actual, you know, top three. Have two teams to actually take it all. People may put us there, but me personally, it still is going to take a little bit more from the team to kind of put ourselves there. But I think we're on the right track, and I think goals like that and performances like Fidalgo's is what's going to take us. So, Richard Sanchez, I hope you take this into the international break. Show up, man, and come back and continue doing your thing. And he should keep shooting from far because he has that thing to shoot from far and score goals.
Oh, he does.
Score bangers only. He don't miss. He doesn't.
I like Richard. I know he's had a lot of heavy criticism because of, you know, the position he's had to take up in regards to Mateus Uribe. But I'd make the argument that, you know, you give Richard just another season more, and I think he can do more than what Mateus Uribe did for America. And really, all he needs is a title to, you know, make that argument be more solid. And so I think that potentially we could see that if, you know, Richard can elevate his game and you know, link up with the likes of Fidalgo, link up with the likes of, you know, Roger and stuff like that. I think you'll see a much more better America side. You know, it's liquid football whenever you have a player like Richard Sanchez on his A game. And that's really truly the real of it all. He commands a midfield that is just, you know, very, very good on its day. Because let's face it, whenever we got Pedro Aquino, we said potentially could be top two best midfielders, best midfield in the league, right?
Yeah.
Haven't really shown that this season, but we are capable of doing a lot more than what we have showcased. And I think this game against Pumas was a perfect example. The only thing I regret is the fact that this is on international break. It would have been great to have these guys finally get on form and not get a little bit cold. But alas, AJ, that is how the international break was scheduled. And hopefully, like Christian mentioned, these players can continue to stay warm, can continue to stay hot. And I guess it's a good thing that they're going up against Pumas again on Friday.
I mean, hey, that's good. It's another Clasico. It's round two, except, you know, there's nothing at stake here. So, Pumas, even if you do win, you ain't gain no points. Y'all are still trash. So,
How you say that there's nothing at stake. When there's a Clasico, everything's always at stake. There's bragging rights on the table.
I mean, the only thing they want to put on the table is Andres Lilini, because he can get out of that team. We do them a favor. We would do them a favor. So they could put him on the table, but some will get rid of him. Just, you know, take the L against America, and then, you know, job is done. But, I mean, hey, we get to see some faces that didn't get to see any playing time. And, you know, in the match this Sunday, we get to see them play. And who knows, maybe there could be some players that I could look at towards the very end of the season. It's like, you know, maybe give you some more minutes if any of our players in the starting 11 aren't up to par. Those guys on the bench can get some minutes.
All right. Well, let's go back into this game that we witnessed on Sunday, which, by the way, 3 p.m. It was nice, Christian. It was nice seeing America play in that sunlight.
Love it, man. I love it. It was great. Bring back so many memories, honestly. You guys need to go back in time and watch these America games from back then at like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in Sunday afternoon. It's one of the best games ever, honestly.
Definitely. It was definitely a whole different vibe in that aspect. But look, as far as the game goes, you break it down easily, right? Pumas had the better start. America, I think, once they started getting those chances, after that disallowed Viña's goal, I saw an America that completely switched it on, completely going at, you know, after Pumas' goal, knocking at the door consistently. We get the goal. And I think what I like most about that is that America didn't necessarily sit back and was like, all right, we got the goal. Now we're just going to wait for the pressure. They kind of kept insisting, right? Second half comes around. There's moments and spells in time where Pumas had their chances, looked a little bit better than us. But all in all, I think America did what they continuously been doing under Solari, Christian, and that is being as compact and organized as possible. Obviously, with hiccups here and there, but for the most part, again, playing to that Solari role, playing to that Solari game, where everything is going to be very detailed, where everything's going to be very much, or at least hope to be as organized as possible. But it's very much pragmatic in the sense that no one's going to take that extra risk. You're going to try to do your job, your part. You're going to try to close the spaces down, and you're going to try to keep your opponent at bay. What do you mean? I think, you know, the lack of order is what kind of, you know, did us in a couple of games in prior tenures. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see that. Let's talk about a man that's definitely causing a lot of ruckus in the sense of Mauro Linus. AJ, that is your boy right there. Linus and Ray should start together on the left side. I don't know why people criticize Linus so much from Luis G. And then AP Jr. follows that up by, I don't know about Linus starter. How are we feeling about Linus? I mean, gets his goal, gets a good showcasing against Pumas. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Just with him, it feels like Gresham mentioned, there's not any player this season that's been very consistent throughout the entire season. Everyone has their off days. Everyone has their good days. Linus is just one of those things. He just came onto the pitch with the minutes he had left. He gave it his all, and look, he was rewarded with a goal. He essentially sealed the game for Pumas. I'm happy for him, but then, you know, as he started, you had fans criticizing him, saying, why did we get him the first place? And you got others like, no, he's good. You know, maybe because of the Linus name itself, because, you know, his younger brother, you'd expect him to be the same, though they're two completely different players. Linus, though, I mean, I'm happy for him. I like the guy. Though, would I necessarily want to start when we have someone like Chavarez? No. Would I want to put him in that left-back spot so Chavarez could be up top? I don't know about that either. That's why you have Fuentes in that spot. But, I mean, I'm happy with him. I'm fine with the way Linus is performing. Like I mentioned, not everyone's been consistent. So, you can't be the only one pointing fingers at Linus for trying to say he's been bad. Because there's been other players this season. I'm just like, it's questionable how they've been for us, but that's only me, probably.
Yeah, and one of those biggest questionable players is wearing a number 10 jersey. But again, I won't get into that discussion as of right now.
Talk about it. Talk about it afterwards. I'm down to bring this conversation to light.
Well, I mean, we've opened the can of worms. We might as well just completely put it out there in the public. What is going on with Córdoba? I mean, he had an amazing opportunity to put a goal past Talavera. Was a bit selfish in my eyes. Could have definitely passed it off. Could have gotten the assist. Would have been an easy goal. But alas, apart from there, I mean, what else did you guys see from Córdoba? Because I didn't really see much again. And I know that I'm always very heavy critical on this man. But it's that number 10 jersey that I think gives more light to this criticism.
I agree with you. And, you know, I think we're, me and you, and maybe AJ, if he agrees with us, we're about to be public enemy number one with Americanistas, but we're not responding to the pressure of the number 10 jersey. Listen, I said it on the Clásico podcast. When you came on as a sub on a Clásico wearing a number 10, you're the one that was brought on to make the difference. You're the one that was supposed to come on to kind of win the game. You came on and you did nothing for 25 plus minutes. Bad game? Okay, fine. I understand. Let's pick it up against Pachuca. Pachuca, you didn't do nothing there either. You know what? Okay, fine. You know, America, as a team, is going through a bad stretch. Let's roll it over to Pumas. Fine. Let's see what happens here. And still nothing, man. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the position. I don't know if it's the number 10. I don't know if it's personal issues. But the man is not responding as of right now. I think because prior performances with the national team and with America, I guess, just because of who he is, got him the call up. But if we want to be hot take central over here, I don't think Henry or Cordova deserve that call up to the Mexican national team. But you know, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different, you know, podcast in itself, talking about the national team. But for America's sake, listen, I'm with you, Ivan. I really didn't see much from Cordova this Sunday. I don't know what it is. I don't know if either of you have a theory of what's going on or what may be happening to him. But right now, he hasn't looked the same than what he did at the Olympics. And that's it's a little concerning, I'm not going to lie.
There's a little chuckle from you, AJ. Give me your perspective on this.
It's really unfortunate. Like, ever since, like, he came back from that loan against with Nick Gox, we really think he could be something after how he's been performing in all those past games. It just seems like that number 10 shirt might seem to take a toll on him. Maybe it's just the responsibility of just wearing such a big number like the number 10. I mean, look what happened to Gio. He became a complete bust with Cordova. I don't know what's up with them. It's some inconsistencies. I don't know if it's just he prefers being on the national team or something. Make it not be like a Uriel Antuna kind of situation where I'm just like, please, no. I really don't want that. But I don't know what's with Gordo. I mean, yeah, he's been moved to different positions on the team. Either he's a left mid, he's a right mid, he's a cam, center forward, whatever this case may be. Like, I really don't understand what's going on with them. It's really unfortunate. I really only want the very best for Gordo. I want to see the very best on the pitch. Just, I don't know what's going on. He's just been ghosting this year. Yeah, he's got 2 goals. But I'm just like, is the 2 goals really enough, like, the reason for you to give you the number 10 jersey? No. And maybe it could just be as well after winning the Ivan Pineda trophy. I think he just stopped playing for real. So
I think you have to kind of take into perspective everything, right? I think you're right, Christian, in the sense that it is the weight and the pressure of the number 10 jersey. I do believe, too, it's the position, right? He doesn't feel as comfortable on that right-hand side or left-hand side than he does in the midfield. But it's not to say that he's a bad player that can't adapt can't, you know, take on those roles and positions. Because we've seen it with the national team. He's been drifted out wide before, too, and he's performed. So what is it? It's the real situation. And I think it's just the player who he is. We've talked about it too, and I've talked about it. The consistency has just not been there from him. He's a player that you get 1-2 games, 3 max, good, and then he goes cold for the longest of time. I remember Paco Villa was talking about this. I can't remember what game it was, but he said it. He's like, you know, Cordoba's, and I know a lot of controversy going around being called so-called pecho frío on Twitter. But the reality of it, this is lingering on since this Necaxa loan. Necaxa had the opportunity to buy him, and they said no. And he was balling out. But why? Because there was that lack of inconsistency, and they saw it, and they were like, you know what? Nah, we're good. And so he comes back to America, starts performing. But again, it's the lack of consistency. I don't know if necessarily, you know, him riding the bench a little bit is going to help solve the issue. I mean, how can you justify taking off Fidalgo and putting Cordova in that role when Fidalgo just had the game that he did against Pumas? Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, you know that the life of a footballer is tough and you have to earn your place. And especially in America, wearing that jersey, I feel like, you know, any one of us, if we had the talent that Cordova had and you told us, I'm going to give you the number 10 jersey, you go out there week in and week out and you die for that jersey. You put everything out there on that pitch. And that's what you're not seeing from a canterano. That's my biggest thing. A lot of people are like, why are you so harsh on Cordova? Why aren't you harsh on, like, you know, on Viñas or Richard or all, you know, all these other foreigners that are performing? Well, because they're not from the cantera. They're not from our youth academy. They don't feel the colors the way that a canterano should feel them. And the fact that Cordova comes in and just, you know, half-asses it sometimes out there on the pitch is just what frustrates me the most, because I'm just like, you see him sometimes lose a ball and he's just kind of like, okay. And that's what's like, come on, man, do something. You got the number 10 jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. It's a little disappointing because I think, you know, last season he was, you know, much better than what he's giving us now. And, you know, back then, you know, last season, I guess I can understand why people, you know, would kind of be like, you know, what the hell, Ivan? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I can see their perspective, right? Because he was giving performances, even though Ivan wasn't seeing it. But this year, I got to say, I think I see eye to eye with Ivan. I think Cordova's has been very disappointing up to this point. Does he have time to bring it back? I mean, listen, if he shows up for the rest of the season, shows up in playoffs, when is the 14? When is the CCL? You know, maybe Ola's forgotten, right? But
yeah, I'll change my Twitter name to I love Cordova.
As the way things are going right now, it doesn't seem likely. But I know Ivan will be all for it, even if it means, you know, bashing him for the rest of his life. He wants Cordova to succeed. We all want Cordova to succeed. We all want Cordova to respond as the number 10.
Mm-hmm.
When is it going to happen, though? Right? When is it going to happen? What does he need in order for him to succeed? And maybe he needs to have a sit down with Solari. You know, I don't know if Solari sees it, but Cordova's not Cordova, right?
You know what? You know who he needs to have a sit down with? He needs to have a sit down with Cuauhtémoc Blanco. Like, Cuauhtémoc Blanco will smack him around and he'll get him into shape.
Just like what he did to Fireson. Just like what he did to Fireson at the window. Just give him the... wake up. You're wearing my number.
I'm just saying no, but you're right, though. I think Solari's aware of it, but I think at the same time, Solari's kind of like, well, I mean, you know, I don't have a right winger because my board didn't bring me one, so you're kind of stuck in that position, you know?
True.
I mean, look, I get it. It hasn't been favorable for Cordova because of the fact that, you know, the necessity of the team needing to play him in that position. I get it. But at the same time, you can't make the argument that he would bench Fidalgo at the moment.
Right.
Mm-mm. Just can't. Honestly.
So that's the thing. I have Dylan in the comments saying, Ivan equals Pecho Frio, and saying, wow, y'all better be glad I ain't on the podcast right now. And AP Jr. saying, can you please, Dylan? Like, apparently, AP Jr. not
a fan of what we're saying.
But I get it, right? And I get it because...
Hold on. I want to say, AP, if you're willing to share your opinion on Cordova, I would love to hear. If you back Cordova or do you agree with us? Anyone in the comments, actually, if you guys can, do you guys agree with us or you guys have your own take on Cordova? Please share it right now and we'll discuss it. Leo Suarez is injured, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Leo Suarez.
And for the season, probably back week 4 or 5 of next season.
Which doesn't help our case still with the whole Raymond situation. Dylan answering the question, he's like, I wish I'm at work right now, but he definitely wishes he could be on and talking this Cordova debate. But look, the reality is that he's wearing the number 10 jersey. He's got to pick it up. And you said a question. If he magically picks it up after the international break, backs himself like 4 goals before the season ends, wins us that CONCACAF Champions League, is pivotal for us to make a run in and claim that 14th title, then of course, like, you know, I'll change my profile picture to Cordova, I'll change my background to Cordova, I'll change my name to I Love Cordova. And like, of course, you know, like, I'm willing to do all of that, but he needs to go out there and perform. Like, it's just as simple as that.
He's got to get the Ivan Pineda trophy again. He's got to win the second time. So...
there we go. I will publicly make a video if he is at the helm of it all. I will publicly make a video that we'll post on our podcast, and I will be like, you know, attention Cordova, like, dear Cordova, I apologize for all my bashing. I was 100% wrong. You are the best Americanista and the best player I've ever seen. Like, I will say all of that stuff if he can go and perform and win as a title. All right, I'm saying, but I need him. I need him to perform. But we have AP Jr.'s take saying, honestly, he's playing horrible, bad form. But like y'all said, I want him to succeed and meet that number 10 expectation. And I think that's what we all want at the end of the day. Also, he's not the youngest of players anymore. So he's coming into that age where he needs to start maturing a little bit more. He's entering that 24, 25, 26 period where that is pivotal in a player's career. I mean, absolutely pivotal. And if you're still, you know, giving performances every 3 weeks, it's just not going to cut it, especially if you're trying to go to Europe. I'm just being realistic at this point. But that is the case with Cordova. At the end of the day, though, America defeats Pumas 2-0 on a Sunday afternoon at the Estadio Azteca. And again, 3 points. It's cold at the top, AJ. It's cold at the top.
It's looking pretty nice. It's looking pretty nice right up there. Honestly, would I like for it to stay that way? Yes, please. I would like that. Please.
I get think to see that,
everyone else fight in a repechaje. You know, it would be nice if relegation was still a thing. We could just wave bye bye at them. So, but
you're right, AJ. You're 100% right. But look, the reality is that the hardest test for America season is right after this international break. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fixtures are coming thick and fast, and especially with a final thrown in the mix of it all in the month of October. October is probably the most pivotal month in America season. Also, funny enough, it is America's anniversary month. So, make that of that of what you will with that information. But again, us? America wins 3 points. Good way to get into the international break. And we look ahead to what potentially could be a very good, thrilling match against Atlético San Luis. But again, that is for the future. But with that said, gentlemen, anything to add on in regards to this recap?
I think that'll be it.
We move.
We move. And we keep it moving. I like it. AP Jr. said, God bless the international break. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. I don't know. I think maybe America needed the international break, if I'm being honest. We needed a little bit of a reset here. So
honestly, we're going to really need it because, like you mentioned, this month of October is hectic. Like, we got San Luis, and then just 3 days later, Santos. And then 4 days later, it's Tigres. Like, that's tough.
And then I believe...
Then we have
the... 5 days later, we have the final?
Yeah, and then we got the CONCACAF. And then Clásico Joven.
Oh, look at that. It is mayhem central October, okay?
Yeah, honestly, the international break, actually, maybe God bless the international break. And I ain't being sarcastic, so...
Carlos Diaz saying, yo, boys. What is going on, Carlos? Glad to see you on here. But all right, gentlemen, let's move on into the next segment. But before we do, we want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you guys by FootCult. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys check out FootCult.com. Get anything that you guys like with a 10% discount by using the discount code EEP at checkout. Again, that is discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off all FootCult products. And again, thank you to FootCult for sponsoring today's episode. All right. Gentlemen, moving on into the world of America. Christian, do you have any updates, rumors, or anything going on in and around the world of America? I've seen that Renato Ibarra is training again with America.
Yeah, so the rumor is, and Renato's expectation is, to be ready for playoffs with America. Is that going to happen? Listen, I don't think so.
He's not the type of player to risk anyone.
Yeah. I think at this point, Renato will just be ready for next season. I mean, if it does happen, I don't think anyone will be opposed to it. It just adds another, I guess, offensive element that I think Renato can bring to the offense. But, you know, as of right now, let's just stick with what we have and exclude him until further confirmation is out there that he will be ready by then. But you know, he's training for that timeline. It's just very unlikely, but crazier things have happened.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, definitely. But with that said, I don't think there's anything more in regards to the update. It's been pretty quiet at America. Nothing really to talk about.
Quiet for news outlets, for news reporters.
But that's good. I don't know why, but that's good. I feel like a quiet day at the office is always, you know, acceptable with America. You know, everyone's got to do their job. And look, the players are off to international break, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You mentioned that four players from America's roster going to go play with Mexico. That's George Sanchez, Guillermo Ochoa, Henry Martin, and...
Sebastián Córdoba.
And Sebastián Córdoba, of course. Did Richard get called up for his national team?
I believe Richard got called up. Yes, sir.
Okay. That only begs the question if Roger got called up. That one is 100% not known if he did or didn't.
Yeah, I'm not too aware of that either.
But if he didn't, we can all agree that he doesn't deserve it. So
half of these players don't deserve it, but that's a different different take. I think we've been too hot this podcast, so. Let's just
we'll tread lightly.
Let's talk about something that I think people are talking about, not just America, fans, but Mexican national fans. When is Chava Reyes going to get the call up?
Not anytime soon.
Elaborate, please, my friend.
I think with the whole Chava Reyes situation, you have to take in, you have to factor in the fact that he is glowing up mid, well, not even mid. I think at this point, you're like three quarters into potentially playing a World Cup. So we know how qualifiers go. It's usually you take your players who you've been working with for the past 3 years, and you've weaved out your kind of go-to guys, and you kind of play your chances with them. And then if those players aren't putting up the performances you want them to, and if the results aren't going your way, then you switch it up. Then you bring in the likes of Chava Reyes. Because look, Arteaga isn't even on this lineup call-up either. And I think he's Chava Reyes' biggest competition right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roy Martinez did get called up to the Colombian national team. Pedro Aquino.
Pedro Aquino, too?
Yeah,
okay, I think Pedro Aquino deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it.
He needs it. Pedro Aquino didn't get called up last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, okay. Yeah. Well deserved for Richard and Pedro.
Wow. Oh, man, that means our midfield this week, this Friday against Pumas is going to be Mon Osuna and Fernando Madrigal.
Let's go!
we'll get to that discussion right now. But yeah, I think the whole Salvador Reyes thing, we just got to be patient. I think that if he can continue to ball out, he can definitely make that World Cup roster. But again, he needs to be consistent, which I think that's maybe the one player you can argue, Christian, has had the most consistency with America this season.
He's only had one bad game season as well, and that was the it was the Clásico match, actually, the Clásico Nacional.
The Toluca game, he wasn't the sharpest.
I feel like that was everyone, though, in general, for Toluca, to be honest.
Yeah. But, I mean, alas.
I guess out of everyone, Chava Reyes has been the most consistent, but not America level consistent that we need him to be.
No, but I'm just saying this as far as the squad goes, I think
I would agree. Yes, Chava Reyes does seem like the more consistent out of the whole out of the bunch, but still not to the level that we need to be at.
Yeah, but look, I don't think we have to worry, and to be honest, I don't think Salvador Reyes's mind should be on the national team right now. I think he should be just 100% focused on America at the moment.
And he gets the call up, I think great for him. But like you said, I think he's focused. I think he knows it's in the conversation. It's just, I think, like you said, I hope that his priority and his focus right now is becoming the best player he can for America first. And then if the call-up does come, then, you know, congratulations and go do your thing. But I think you're right, Ev. I think the focus has to be America first, be the best player you can, and then worry about everything else later.
I think, look, you got to look at what Tata Martino is trying to do for this national team. I think right now he's just trying to get the results and try to take a good enough kind of lead in where, all right, you've maybe secured your spot, and for the last couple of games you can call up different players and then experiment things. That's when I think you'll see Salvador Reyes get called up. But before that, I don't see. He might get called up for the friendly.
I'll make a bold position. I'll make a bold prediction right now. I think America has 5 players in the World Cup next year.
Yes. And that is going to be
Mon Osuna. 100%.
No. Let's go. Go on. Uh-huh.
Go on. Okay. Fernando Madrigal.
Yes. And Guatemala somehow. Chucho
López. Chucho López. Emma Aguilera. Emma Aguilera.
Can you imagine a world? Hidalgo. Can you imagine a world where Aguilera gets called up for the national team?
Oh, let's go. If he has a free kick, he's gonna tell Messi, step aside. I got this. I take this back at America.
I'd pay good money to see that.
Imagine Aguilera telling Messi, back off. I got this.
He scores it as well.
Scores it as well. Like in the World Cup final as well.
Yeah, I'd pay good money to see that.
I think Aguilera becomes an America legend if that ever happens.
He'll become an Argentina legend now. He'll be written in the books. Everyone will become an America fan at that point. Like, yeah, I support this team because of Emma.
Oh, of course. Now, but I honestly think we'll see Chava Reyes in Qatar 2020.
I think so as well.
I honestly see that. Maybe if he doesn't get that many minutes, but he's just there on the bench, you know, just in case if you need to put him on the wings or left back position, if anything. But, you know, It'll be good with his transition, even if he doesn't get any minutes. Just...
He fits a lot of Tata's qualities and what he looks for as a left back. This is now, you know, you need to prove it against, you know, better opposition.
This is the month to do so, right? This is the month to do so.
There's one problem, though. There's only one problem. You don't play in MLS, so he's already probably out of the question, no? You don't play in MLS.
Listen, that's going to be there for that Monterrey America final. You're going to see Gallardo and Chava Reyes both at the same time playing in a high-pressure matchup.
Yep.
This is if you're Chava,
that's your moment to shine.
That's your rival.
Aside from America, and obviously we want to win this for America and lift the trophy. But, you know, he has to keep in mind that, you know, Tata's up there watching. You know, he's going to be looking, taking his little notes down. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, to add a little bit more spice to the situation, yeah, that's definitely something to keep an eye on for. But look, that pretty much does it. Let's go on into our last and final topic of the night before we wrap all things up. Gentlemen, we have another Clásico at hand, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's an exhibition match and this and that, and while AJ says that there is nothing at stake, I will make the argument that there is bragging rights. And AJ, you know what it means to the Americanismo here in the United States whenever America does get to come here. And Southern California is probably one of the biggest areas for an Americanismo community. Spot. And not just that, but you're going to have people flying in from all over the country to come see America. So how are we feeling about this game, gentlemen? It's on a Friday night, which is weird. Really weird. It's at 6:30. A lot of people are still barely getting out of work. So I don't know how the attendance is going to go looking like. But again, it's bragging rights at stake. A Clásico Capitolino. And we know that this game was due to be played last year if it wasn't for COVID situations. Now the fans get to finally utilize their tickets. And we're going to see America come at Carson at Dignity Health Sports Park. Interesting game, nonetheless, I would say.
Yeah, no. Can't wait for it. I mean, you can never go wrong with the Clásico. And it's also on a Friday as well. I mean, yeah, it's a weekend. Start your weekend off with Clásico Capitolino and watch El Más Grande. So, you know, never go wrong with that. Especially being in California, it's one of the hot spots. If regardless of a friendly, you could even be in Kansas, you'll get a bunch of Americanistas going there. So wherever America plays in the States, we make our presence known as Americanistas. No matter where this team will go, we will follow.
Definitely. And Christian, I look forward to these games more for the seeing the fans show up more so than the actual team.
No.
It's you guys witnessed it in Philadelphia. Christian, you've witnessed this a couple years ago back in New York. New Jersey, actually, because the game was at Red Bull Arena. But you guys know what the Americanismo brings to the table whenever it is a game here in the States. You might as well call it a home game, right? Because we're going to be the majority. Always going to be that majority.
It's like the national team. And where we go, we're playing at home. What are you talking about? Oh, wait.
All I got to say is the MLS better wish this Liga MX MLS merger doesn't happen because, listen, any game America attends here, they're going to be the home team. Ooh, I don't care always. Who you are. Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Sporting Kansas City. I don't care who you are. America will be the home team no matter what.
Always. 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 And you know what? Maybe they want that because that is a lot of revenue on tickets.
I was just...
Cincinnati, yeah. Cincinnati has a team. Right. But I promise you, like, you go to that Cincinnati game and it's going to be the majority of America fans.
I mean, it's all yellow, man.
It's all yellow. Forget the orange. It's all yellow. You might see a lot of orange, but it's going to be that orange America jersey. Spot it. The reality is, I look forward to these games because it's about the Americanismo. It's about the people in the stands. It's about seeing the families, the tailgates, all that stuff. For me, that is what these games bring out the best in the Americanismo, in the community. The food, it's delicious. It's always great. You know, God bless to all of those who, whenever I'm coming by, always offer me something to eat, which is always tempting, by the way. Very tempting. But I know if I stop and I start eating, I'm just going to get distracted and I can't fully cover the game. But no, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Look, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be down there at the game. If you guys are going to be there, let us know. We always want to be a part of, we always want to feature you guys on the podcast. We always want to put you guys up on our social medias. So if you guys are going to be at Dignity Health Sports Park, if you guys are going to be in Carson, California that day, let us know. We want to feature you guys in our game day coverage. So let us know again, Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. That game is going to be live at Tudene. That is 9 Eastern for you boys over there. What a way to kind of end your Friday night. Should be an interesting one. Should be a fun one. Nevertheless, I think this is a good opportunity for Solari to play some of the youngsters. Would you guys agree?
100%.
Yeah. I think this is the chance. And we're talking about this, like a podcast ago, AJ, that you know, Solari prone for letting the youth develop in the first team. Hasn't really done that this season. But I think this is the game for him to kind of take advantage of it.
Oh, of course. And as well, these guys, they get to play with the first team. It's a friendly, but who knows? You do your best and give it your all in the match against Pumas. Solari's going to probably have an eye on you. Who knows? Maybe in this season, maybe just have one or two of those guys just on the bench just in case, or for next season, you can get that call up to that first team.
Look, I'm really hoping Carell's ready to go, because I really would want to see him feature in a game like this. I know your boy Morrison is who you want to see, but I don't know if he makes the game day roster. Maybe, potentially, seeing as how we might have some players out. But again, whilst this is a good opportunity for the youngsters to get some minutes, it's also a good opportunity for some of these players that haven't seen minutes regularly get some playing time. I mean, you're talking about a Vinas that's going to start. You're going to talk about a Nicolas Benedetti who's going to get some minutes as well. I mean, that's important too. Keep that rhythm going. I think he had a very good game against Chivas in Dallas. Now the question is, can he come and step up again in Carson against Pumas? Carson is about an hour 15 at most.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. It's. I think it's relatively closer by. But yeah, no, it's not bad at all. I shouldn't catch traffic by the time I'm leaving. So, well, never mind. It's a Friday. Never mind. I'm always going to catch traffic on a Friday. but yeah, it's not that far. So yeah, I'm excited to see some of these players get some regular minutes, some youngsters get some debut minutes, and try to see if Solari can implement something that he wants to continue implementing throughout the remainder of this Apertura. Again, I know it's an exhibition, and it really is just a filler because, you know, Dominica had to find a way to get this game going again because of the COVID situation. But again, I expect a good game. On Friday night, I expect a good matchup. I expect there to be, you know, a lot of good play on the pitch, but I expect a lot more happening in the stands. AJ, you know well when the Porra gets together and they get their creative, you know, banners and everything going. That is truly amazing. Flares coming up roughly around the 83rd, 85th minute of the match as well. So again, all of that paints for a spectacular event. And I'll say this much. If you guys thought the game against Chivas at Dallas was a good showcasing of what the fans are capable of doing, just wait till the fans are a little bit closer to the players themselves. I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing at Dignity Health Sports Park. So, again, excited. Really, really excited. And I can't wait to see what is afoot for America on Friday against Pumas. Again, these games are a little bit hard to preview in the sense of what we might see from some of these players because, again, you don't know exactly what Solari is going to want to do on the night. Carlos Diaz coming out saying, where are you sitting at? Well, I'll be sitting in the press box as we will be covering it as media. But let us know where you'll be at, Carlos. Definitely love to catch up with you, maybe get a couple words from you in regards to Las Águilas del América. And anyone, really, who's out there, who's ever listening, wants to be, you know, in front of the microphone, let us know. Again, we want to get all of you guys' perspective on this matchup. All right, gentlemen, to kind of wrap it up quickly, what is your guys' expectation for this game on Friday, and what are your guys' scoreline prediction, if you guys have any? AJ, I'll throw it to you first.
Look, it's Gasco on Capitalino. Once again, it's going to be a friendly, but still, the tension out there is going to be amazing. The atmosphere, it's going to be really important for these players, you know, to just come up out top again against Pumas. You know, you got to let them know who runs things in Mexico City. No wider than Más Grande. So, you know, expect, you know, Solari, see what he can implement with the players he has on the bench or some of these youngsters. Because especially for the youngsters, they could be one of the future America players that can, you know, stand out, make themselves a name for in this club. So really, just for these guys, just have a good time right out there on the pitch. Give it your all. And then for Solari, see what else he can implement into this game against Pumas. And for my scoreline prediction, go 2-0. We're never hitting 3-0. So 2-0 is the new 3.
I like it. Also, by the way, you don't know how majestic Solari's hair is until you see it in person. I'm just
man,
it in that aspect.
I wish I was up front close to him, because I'm just like, damn, dude. Like, you're just majestic, really. Great coach as well. So
super, super cool guy. Super
really
cool
is. Guy. Wish yeah. I got to talk to him in English as well, because he did go to Stockton University in Jersey. He actually did say one of the reasons he came to the United States, because he was very interested about the language of English. So he's got probably know a thing or two in English. Would have loved to have a little combo with him. But
maybe one day, AJ. One day, if we keep our fingers crossed. Christian, what are you expecting out of this game, and what is your scoreline prediction?
Yeah, you know, just like you guys said, I hope it's a good performance from America. Definitely, that's all. I think we all could have to wish for. Hoping to see, you know, Vinas and Benetti get a lot of rep, get some good minutes in, keep up the tempo. Score prediction. It's a friendly with a lot of, you know, rotational players. Calm 1-0 win for America.
1-0 win. Calm. I like it. I definitely like it. Well, I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory for Las Águilas del América. I think we're going to see a couple of goals. Again, I'm more excited to see what happens in the stands. That is always, for me, kind of, you know, the most important part of it all. Again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I'm excited. I'm always, always up and always excited to go cover these games. Again, thank you to all our listeners who make it a possibility. Thank you to everyone that, you know, makes us, you know, has put us in the position to be able to give game coverage to you guys. And I hope that we make you guys proud on Friday. And hopefully the team does so as well with a good victory. Yeah, I mean, what more can we say? Azucaremos Campeón saying, come over with La Quemanda en dos países. And AP Junior, I wish America played out here in the Bay Area, shaking my head. Although there was that one time they were going to play in San Francisco. And then things deteriorated. I can't get into the details of it because we won't run in. We're running out of time in this one. But again, thank you to all of you guys, again, making this a possibility. I do want to give a special shout out to someone who is always regularly here on the chat, who isn't here at the moment. He is at SoFi Stadium and apparently not having the greatest of time, as seen as his Raider Nation is down and down pretty heavily. So just want to give a shout out to Chris. Hopefully when you listen back to this, it brings a little bit of joy. But again, thank you for always coming on. Thank you for always showing your support. And hopefully we get to see you next week on the chat as always. But again, thank you to everyone. You know, Chris is I think Chris is a perfect representation of this community. So is AP Jr., Carlos Diaz, Azucrema Campeón, every single one, Luis G, Jacob Leal, Dylan, who's always in the chat as well whenever he gets a chance to. So thank you to everyone, every single one of you guys who are out there doing your thing. Again, we really, really do appreciate everything that you guys are doing. And, you know, hopefully we keep continuously making you guys proud and we'll continue to keep striving forward. And again, you guys are the inspiration that keeps us going season after season. All right, gentlemen, anything else to add on before we wrap it all up here?
Free my boy Chucho Lopez. So I'm going to say he better get some minutes, certainly. If not, I'm going to run. There's going to be a problem. So
I'm going to take a picture of Chucho Lopez holding everyone's luggage, and I'm just going to send it to AJ and be like, this is
awesome. Yo, stop. Y'all disrespecting my boy like that.
All right, one last comment and I'll throw it to you, Christian. Frank saying, I want to see America play at Levi Stadium against a big team. AP Jr. agreeing with him there. I wouldn't mind seeing that happen as well. I think that'd be an interesting game. But all right, Christian, final thoughts before we wrap it up?
listen, America is going to get the dub. All right, America is going to win. I'm going to come back from the break when we're undefeated. We're going to go into Monterrey on the
27th.
We're going to beat their ass. We're going to be champions. We're going to go into playoffs as the first seed.
28th.
We're going to beat everybody's ass. We're going to be champions. That's it. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. It is. This is the 28th, AJ. Thank you.
26. You, 26. Ivan, 27. 28.
There you go.
There you go. Third time's the charm, baby. I like it.
Just know when America comes back from the break, we're going to be doing a lot of ass beating, all right? That's all I got to say.
AP's saying, hey, language.
I think this is the most that we have.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to report this. I'm gonna have to censor this one.
I mean, I'm just too happy that my team won Clásicos left and right. So I mean, I have a reason to just be happy and all that. So,
and AJ, we got the biggest Clásico up next for the ladies as well. So please make sure you guys join us on Thursday as we're gonna be covering that game in detail and get you guys ready for what is the Clásico Nacional for our ladies. But all right, gentlemen, thank you again for coming out. I know that Mondays are always a good day for us whenever we get to talk Las Águilas del América. AJ, again, thank you to you. Again, Christian, to you as well. You guys have a wonderful time. To everyone out there in the chat, thank you so much. To everyone listening again, thank you. We'll see you guys in Carson, California on Friday, and we'll be talking Lady Aguilas on Thursday. All right, then, you guys have a wonderful time. Stay safe out there. Please wear your mask. And as always, Arriba en America. Good night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.